The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, shit, we had us a crazy week 5 of games. I mean, there were some games where if you just blinked, the score changed, and it was crazy with multiple games. So let's just get right into it. First game was over in London, the first of 3 London games in a row here. It was between the New York Jets at the Minnesota Vikings, and man, those Minnesota Vikings took it to the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, now he didn't have a terrible game, but he did throw for 3 interceptions, and you don't want to do that. But for the first time in his career, he threw for 2 first half interceptions. He's never done that before, or first quarter interceptions. He's never done that before in his entire career. But this Minnesota Vikings defense is stout, and they've played excellent all season long, and they just continued it on into this game. Their offense started out very shaky, kind of looked like they wanted to give this game up, but their defense really kept them in it the whole way through. The Vikings got the win 23-17. Like I said, Aaron Rodgers didn't have, like, the worst game you could ever have, but, I mean, like I said, 3 interceptions, you don't want to do that, but he still had 244 yards and 2 touchdowns on the day, but he had 54 pass attempts. You really, really don't want that, and one of the things I look at with this New York Jets offense is they do not have a ground attack. Breece Hall has not got it going yet, and that has really cost this team just because then Aaron Rodgers has to throw up 54 pass attempts, and you just really don't want to see your quarterback throwing up that many pass attempts because that usually means you're struggling. So other than that, though, I mean, the Vikings, they are 5-0 on the season and looking pretty good right now. Then we had the Carolina Panthers at the Chicago Bears, and this was Caleb Williams' best game of the season. Dude went 20-for-29 with 304 yards and 2 touchdowns in a 36-10 Chicago Bears win. The Bears are 3-2 right now, so they're, regardless of what you think, they're at least looking pretty decent right now. You know, and 20-for-29 from Caleb Williams, that's pretty damn accurate. So, like I said, definitely his best game of the season. Last week, he actually had a pretty solid game. But this week, that was a pretty flawless performance from a quarterback. And I mean, yeah, you were going up against the Carolina Panthers, not a very good team. But, hey, you got a win is a win. And when you have a game like that as a rookie, Gotta enjoy it. And I mean, their defense looks solid, their offense looks solid, and they're actually headed over to London for next week's game. And we'll see what they got. I look at the Bears as, I don't think they're going to be a Super Bowl bound team, but they're definitely making some noise. I definitely think they're going to get some wins here along the way that people are like, oh, wait a second, this team actually looks pretty decent because the defense is really damn good. And if Caleb Williams keeps playing games like that, everybody's going to have some problems, I think. Then we had probably the game of the day, I would say. I mean, there's a couple of games of the days, but I think this probably takes the cake, and it was the Baltimore Ravens at the Cincinnati Bengals. This game ended up going into overtime, but, I mean, Burrow and Lamar Jackson were, like, just dueling quarterbacks in this one. Lamar Jackson made one of the most insane touchdown passes in the fourth quarter where he's just like pushing a dude out of the way. He's like running backwards, and you never want to see your quarterback running backwards, and he just pushes a defender down, just delivers a dime, and scores a touchdown. And the Bengals, you know, it was just back and forth. The Bengals actually scored 17 points in the second quarter. The Ravens scored 17 points in the fourth quarter. And it was back and forth. Joe Burrow went 30-for-39, 392 yards and 5 touchdowns. That's what kind of a game this was. Jamar Chase, 193 yards, 2 touchdowns. But in overtime, the Ravens got it done. So it looked like the Bengals were going to just take this win because the Ravens get the ball and Lamar Jackson actually ends up fumbling the ball and setting the Bengals up in solid field position. They end up kicking the field goal and missing the field goal. The reason why they missed the field goal, though, is because they actually ended up getting pushed back just a little bit by Justin Madubuike of the Baltimore Ravens. He actually made it a little bit more difficult of a field goal to take. Now, if you watch the snap was just terrible, and the hold was terrible, but it was not good for them. And then what happened was is the Ravens just handed the ball off to Derrick Henry, who just set up the Ravens in game-winning field goal position. They hit that game-winning field goal, walk-off win, 41-38, Baltimore Ravens. But I got to say, that was the game of the day. It was straight-up beautiful quarterback play from both. But, I mean, Jackson, he definitely had a couple of moments where you're like, holy shit, he had a couple of fumbles on the day. But he was still able to bounce back and just have a phenomenal game. But he and Burrow, man, it was dueling quarterbacks for a bit there. But the Bengals are now 1-4 on the season. And you definitely don't want to be down that bad. I mean, we know the Bengals have been able to make comebacks over the last few years, you know, especially with Burrow at quarterback. You really can't count them out. And Ja'Marr Chase, ooh, pay this man. You got to pay this dude. He is making some big-ass plays these last couple of games. So, yeah, he needs some money. But they're 1-4 right now on the season. And there's other reasons why. It ain't because of Burrow and Chase, but yeah, you don't want to be 1-4 right now, but I mean, there's still plenty of time, but that's just not how you want to be to start the season off. Then we had the Miami Dolphins at the New England Patriots. This was the snooze fest of the day, basically. It was just trading field goals all the way. The Patriots pretty much scored like the only touchdown of the game. It was Ramondre Stevenson. He actually had 89 yards and a touchdown on the day. The Dolphins were able to actually get this win 15-10. It was a real ugly game from both teams. I don't really know what else to say about this game other than it was ugh. But the Dolphins got the win, so good for them. Then we had the Cleveland Browns at the Washington Commanders, and Jaden Daniels just continues to just keep dropping dimes. I mean, he had a few passes yesterday that were just boom, precise and on point, exactly where you need to deliver the ball. I mean, he didn't have the spectacular games he's had the last couple of games, but I mean, damn, they had 14 for 25, 238 yards, a touchdown, 82 yards rushing on the ground. So he really is just looking like CJ Stroud looked last year. But the Commanders got the win 34-13. The Browns just keep looking like the Browns. Pretty fucking terrible. I mean, they just suck. And it's pretty hilarious because it's pretty much all on Deshaun Watson. The guy is just playing terrible, but I can't say I feel sorry for him because that's what you get, you fucking asshole. But Cleveland Browns, that's also what you get for trading for him and paying him all that guaranteed money when he amounted to shit, and that's what he's serving up to you guys, a whole lot of shit. Then we had the Indianapolis Colts at the Jacksonville Jaguars, and this actually ended up being a very good game between two division rivals. I mean, it was back and forth. It was actually Jaguars domination all the way up to the fourth quarter. Then I don't know what the hell the Colts did, but they went off and rallied 24 points in the fourth quarter, but the Jaguars also kept up with them. They had 17 points in the fourth quarter, but the Jaguars were able to hang on to this one 37-34 and get their first win of the season. Trevor Lawrence, he actually balled out in this one. He went 28 for 34 with 371 yards and two touchdowns. His running back went off 101 yards, two touchdowns. That was Bigsby. He's really starting to get going these last couple of games. I kind of feel like that's what they really needed in this offense. But the Jaguars finally got a win. I don't know what that says about them. I don't know how many more they're going to get along the way, but you definitely want to finally get that win, especially against a division rival like the Colts. But that was a close one for the Jags, and the Colts walking home with that L. Then we had the Buffalo Bills at the Houston Texans, another very, very close game with some weird play calls towards the end, especially on the Bills side of things. CJ Stroud, he had his struggles throughout this one. He actually had a fumble, just some questionable calls along the way. I mean, he's going to have some growing pains. He's only in his second year, but still, statistically, 28 for 38, 331 yards and a touchdown. Really can't scoff at that. But what the real questionable call came from the Buffalo Bills. So the game's tied at 20. They have the ball, and they're backed up to the end zone. They end up calling three straight passing plays, and neither of them or none of them work, and they end up having to punt the ball. And when they punt the ball, they're in the end zone, so you're already setting the Texans up with good field position. They do have a kicker who's known to make some pretty long kicks, and they're in a stadium where there's not like wind or rain or snow or anything to really throw a kicker off. So you really don't want to get this kicker set up in good field position. And the Texans, they take over with 16 seconds left to go. And CJ Stroud's able to just set them up in good field position. And for the game winner, Kyahmi Fairburn hits a 59 field goal walk-off for the Texans, 23-20. Josh Allen pretty much had one of the worst games of his career. He was like 9 for 28, something weird like that. It was really bad. He only had 9 completions on the day. So that goes to show that it was a pretty bad day for him. And Cook actually showed up on the ground for the Bills, 82 yards and a touchdown. But overall, just not good situational football in the end for the Bills, but great situational football for the Texans. And that, and they just keep getting those really close wins, and they're getting tested, and they keep passing the test every single time. Those Texans are looking pretty solid right now at 4-1. Then we had the Las Vegas Raiders at the Denver Broncos, and the Broncos just smashed the Raiders 34-18. Patrick Surtain had a 100-yard pick six. He actually had another interception as well, but the 100-yard pick six, boom, ran for daylight. Bo Nix didn't look bad at all either, 19 for 27, 206 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, he obviously still has his growing pains, but the Broncos are on a little bit of a winning streak here. They definitely needed this, and the Raiders just keep on circling the toilet as they do. Then we had the Arizona Cardinals at the San Francisco 49ers. And to me, this was probably the biggest surprise of the day. I mean, these are division rivals. So it's not usually shocking when a division rival matchup is close. But the Niners pretty much dominated this game for the majority of it. Then the second half, they pretty much petered out. You know, they had some turnovers in the red zone. Their running back, Jordan Mason, he had a fumble in the red zone. Brock Purdy had a terrible interception to end the game. But the Cardinals, man, freaking Kyler Murray, he had this freaking 40-yard run where he's like basically putting up the peace sign to the 49ers defense in an extremely disrespectful manner, but they were nowhere near him. And he was able to just blaze on by them for a rushing touchdown on the day. And the Cardinals walk away with the win 24-23. I was super surprised by this because I just think the Niners are the better team than the Cardinals, but I just kind of feel like this was one of those wins for the Cardinals where the Niners might have been overlooking them, and the Cardinals just came in hungry and ready to win, and we're like, fuck you, we're coming in to your own home and taking this one, and that is exactly what they did. Then we had the Green Bay Packers at the Los Angeles Rams, and the Packers just held on to this one 24-19. For the most part, the Packers pretty much had control. There was a point where the Rams actually did take the lead, but the Packers really just held on to this one. Matthew Stafford actually has not had a terrible season. He's pretty much the only shining light for the Rams at this point. He went 29 for 45 with 260 yards and a touchdown. So like I said, when you see those 45 pass attempts, just like with Aaron Rodgers and his high amount of pass attempts with what, like 52, it's the same thing with Stafford. You don't want to see him throwing for 45 pass attempts, and which is weird because Williams on the ground had 102 yards and a touchdown. But the Packers just made the bigger plays. I think the Packers are the better team. And they actually showed some life. You know, Love had a big pass to his tight end, Kraft, for a 66-yard touchdown. So they had that big play. But the Packers were able to hang on to this one, and the Rams, you know, they just keep reeling. Those injuries are killing them. They really could use at least one of either Puka Nacua or Cooper Kupp back. They definitely need both of them back, but they could use one of them, if anything. And, you know, Kyren Williams is getting a lot of production on the ground. But other than Stafford and Williams, this Los Angeles Rams team is very, very anemic. Then we had another surprising game of the day. The New York Giants at the Seattle Seahawks. The Giants got this win 29-20 in crazy-ass fashion, too. So the Seahawks are setting up for a game-tying field goal. They're getting ready to get this going, and the Giants block the field goal. And not only do they block the field goal, but they run it back for a touchdown and seal the win 29-20 over the Seahawks. And I mean, really, the Giants actually had control of this one for the majority. So I'm not really sure what happened to the Seahawks in this game. But I mean, they really had some big plays for the most part. I mean, you look at it, Geno Smith, he also had a lot of pass attempts, 28 for 40. So like I said, kind of when you get in that 40 area is really not what you want to see from any quarterback in the league. So with Geno Smith making 40 passing attempts, 284 yards and a touchdown, he also had a huge run as well. But when you see that, that usually ends up being a loss for your team. But that is what happened. But the Giants were actually just able to make the big plays in this one, and they walked away with the win. And then Sunday Night Football, my Dallas Cowboys at the Pittsburgh Steelers, and this was a game, especially in the second half. You know, it actually was it was a close battle in the first half, but the Cowboys, they were making some mistakes. You know, Dak Prescott, he had a fumble in the red zone, and then he threw this terrible interception right before halftime, where CeeDee Lamb was like a triple coverage, and there was no need to throw it up, but he did. But what I liked about that was Dak overcame that bullshit and was able to drive the Cowboys down for the game-winning touchdown in the final seconds. And you know what? This is the first time in Dak's career he has ever done that. He's had game-winning drives, but they usually are a game-winner after with like 2 minutes left for the opposing offense to come out and do something. So he's never had one of these like drives that ends with the Cowboys winning. And so I felt like not only was it great to see him overcome, because he also had another interception as well in the fourth quarter when they were driving. It wasn't Dak's best game. And you're looking at it, and when, even on the game-winning drive, you know, the Cowboys get into the red zone, and they pretty much failed in the red zone all night. Like I said, he had a fumble. He had an interception. Then they also had a blocked field goal on Aubrey. So it really just was not going the Cowboys' way in the red zone until the final drive. They were, and even on the final drive, it was very questionable. You know, Dak on the first and goal, he's running and he's getting close to the end zone, but you could tell even on the replay that he felt the ball was starting to fumble, and he looked like he wanted to reach out for the goal line and go for the touchdown, but he made the smart move by actually kind of holding onto the ball kind of more near him, and the ball fumbles and doesn't hit the pylon, because if he fumbles and that ball hits the pylon, it's a touchback and the Steelers get the ball. But he ends up fumbling the ball, but it's in the Cowboys' favor. And they're at the 1 yard line. So the next play, Rico Dowdle, who finally just has this amazing game, the Cowboys actually found a ground attack, and it looks like Dowdle is the dude. But he was having a phenomenal night all night, except for this one play. Second and goal, he gets stuffed at the goal line, but one of the Steelers defenders just hits the ball at the perfect time, and it just goes up in the air. But Dak Prescott, once again, makes the smart move, jumps on the fumble, grabs it. Third and goal, they don't get it. And Tolbert, who just also had the game of his life, you know, Cooks is out. He's on the IR now. So basically, Tolbert's kind of like the second receiver right now. And Dak was really finding him in this game. He actually had 87 yards and a touchdown, the game-winning touchdown. But on third down, the third and goal, it looked like something happened to Tolbert. He was really injured. He was hobbling off. He really couldn't stay in the game. And then he comes in for the fourth and goal play, and he ends up making the game-winning touchdown. And oddly enough, it turns out, and we found this out because one of the offensive linemen said it after the game, that it was shocking that not only Tolbert was in the game, but that he hung on to that ball because apparently he had sprained nuts. So apparently he got kicked in the nuts maybe on the last play and was not feeling that great. But he ends up making the game-winning touchdown, and the Cowboys win 20-17. Like I said, it was nice to see them finally get a ground attack with Dowdle. It was nice to see Dak overcome those issues he had. He went 29 for 42, 352 yards and two touchdowns, and then the two interceptions as well and the fumble. But it's nice to see him overcome that. Like I said, it was nice to see him find Tolbert, another guy out there, because we definitely need to find somebody else besides CD, because CD was getting triple covered last night. So he was pretty much the decoy, while Ferguson and Tolbert were getting a lot of the passes for the most part. And then on the defensive side of things, no DeMarcus Lawrence, no Micah Parsons, no fucking problem. The Cowboys were able to hold the Steelers in check. Not that they're this insanely amazing offense, but still, they held the ground game in check, which is what they really, really have needed to do. And defensively, they actually held it in check. And the Cowboys walked away with a pretty decent win over the Pittsburgh Steelers last night, and I was pretty happy to see that one. Now let's move on to Monday Night Football. We have the New Orleans Saints at the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now the Chiefs are a 5.5-point favorite. I look at this one as it probably going down to the end because both of these teams are playing well. Now the Saints are coming off of two losses right now, but they're close losses, and you know, they could have won those games easily, but hey, still, they're two losses. Losses are a loss. Whereas the Chiefs, they're doing what the Chiefs do. They just keep winning. It doesn't matter how they win, but they just keep on winning. The Saints, they have had their struggles in these last couple of games, but defensively, they're pretty solid, so I actually expect them to really kind of make it difficult for Patrick Mahomes tonight, as difficult as you can make it for Patrick Mahomes. I still expect Mahomes to have a solid game, but I kind of feel like the Saints defense is going to step it up tonight, make things a little bit more difficult for him. But on the other side of the ball, I expect the Chiefs defense to make things a little bit more difficult for the New Orleans Saints. While Alvin Kamara is having an amazing year so far, he's pretty much the guy that's been the spark plug for this offense so far. And I feel like the Chiefs are really going to zero in on him today and make things a little bit more difficult for the New Orleans Saints to score as much as they've been used to scoring on the season. I do think in a close game, I'm going to take the Chiefs simply because they're at home and simply because they've been winning these close games. Like I keep saying, I can't pick against the stupid-ass Chiefs until they give me a reason to pick against them. I would not be surprised to see the New Orleans Saints upset in this one, but I'm not bold enough to take that upset, so I'm going with the Chiefs in this one, 24-21. Like I said, I think it's going to be a close one, and I think it's going to be a defensive battle. I really actually wouldn't be shocked to see if either defense is the reason why they win, meaning like they get a last-second like goal line stop, or force a turnover for a touchdown. Something of that nature is what I basically think is going to give the edge to the winning team, which I think is going to be the Chiefs, simply because the Chiefs keep winning. And like I said, until they give me a reason to pick against them, I'm going to keep on picking them. And in my head-to-head matchup with Simon Ruvalcaba, he is going with the upset tonight. He is going with the Saints 35-21. So he thinks this is going to be a high-scoring affair, which it would be fun to see. But I've got the Chiefs in this one. Moving on to the baseball playoffs. This weekend was the division series, and we had us some crazy games Saturday and Sunday. So let's begin with the ALDS. And the Cleveland Guardians smashed the Detroit Tigers in game one, 7-0. In the first inning, they just went off. Ramirez scored, Naylor scored, Lane Thomas. They ended up scoring 5 runs in the first inning and literally never looked back. The Detroit Tigers pretty much got caught with their pants down in this one, but that's not really shocking because the Guardians have owned the Tigers this season. They are division rivals, but the Guardians were ready for them Game two is tonight in Cleveland. So we'll see if the Detroit Tigers step it up in this one. But Cleveland came right out the gate in game one and just, boom, smashed them. And they've scored a lot of runs. And it's been a minute since it feels like the Guardians have had a real dominating game like that. Also on the pitching side of things, too. They looked pretty solid in that one at starting pitching with Bibee. Then in game one of the ALDS between the New York Yankees and the Kansas City Royals, this one was back and forth all the way. But Alex Verdugo, who has not had a good season with the Yankees, but especially the last, like, month, this guy has just been reeling, and he just has not been able to get it done, but they have not taken him out of the lineup, mostly because of his defense, and he's been making some really solid defensive plays. But in this one, he was actually able to hit the game winner in the seventh inning to put the Yankees up 6-5, and they really never looked back in this one. They were just able to put together a really solid game, but I mean, this one was just, it was back and forth between the Yankees and the Royals, and I'm really not shocked, because that's actually how I expect this to go, because they're both really solid offensively. They've both had their moments with their pitching, but offensively, this is where it's at for these two teams. Game two is tonight in New York. Moving on to the NLDS, game one between the New York Mets and the Philadelphia Phillies was very, very weird for me personally. So I am watching Zach Wheeler just dominate this one for the Phillies. Schwarber comes right out. His first at bat, boom, cracks a home run out. Philly is dominating this one 1-0. It's just one of those really close battles. Wheeler's just wheeling and dealing and having a fantastic game. And it's the eighth inning. And it's looking like this game's pretty much over. And even though the Phillies took Wheeler out, and I've mentioned that the Phillies' weakness is their bullpen. Even though they took Wheeler out, I was like, whatever. My dogs were feeling kind of antsy, so I took them outside in the backyard just for a little bit. I want to say about 10 minutes. I come in, and I look at the score, and I'm like, what? Is that really say 5-1 New York Mets? Yes, in the 10 minutes I walked outside, freaking Vientos, Nemo, Alonso, and J.D. Martinez just go off, and the New York Mets score 5 runs in the 8th inning and never look back and actually take game 1 6-2. Game 2 was no different. It was one of those, it was a crazy game. The Mets were pretty much dominating this game for a while, but then the Phillies, they started to make a comeback. And Nick Castellanos hits the game-winning single and ties the series up at 1 and gets the Phillies the win in game 2, 7-6. And game 3 is going to be Tuesday night. Then we have in the second matchup in the NLDS between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Diego Padres. This one was just a battle. It was back and forth, back and forth. The Padres came right out the gate, scored a couple of runs, but then Shohei Ohtani came up the bat, and pretty much the Dodgers really didn't look back after that point, and they pretty much they took game 1 7-5, but game 2 was a little bit different, because the San Diego Padres absolutely obliterated the Dodgers in this one, and this is the thing that I said about the Dodgers. Dodgers can score a lot of runs. They're going to have zero issue scoring runs. But once they get down, that's going to be a problem, and they're starting pitching and their bullpen not looking good at all. They gave up 6 home runs to the Padres last night, so it was just annihilation in Los Angeles. So the Padres took last night's game 10-2. This series is tied up at 1 with game 3 being played on Tuesday night. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you on Wednesday.